views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Macris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and welcome to Limelight Radio. I have to say a couple of housekeeping things today. First, before we get started with our fantastic guest, Dan Wolf, who I'm going to introduce to you in a couple minutes. But first off, I have to tell you that my new book is out. I get to crow here for a couple of minutes. This was a really, really strident year of serious writing up till 1 o'clock in the morning almost every night. But Autoimmune Illness and Lyme Disease Recovery Guide, Mending Body, Mind, and Spirit is in bookstores right now, everyone. You got to go charging in or over to Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I wrote this book for you. This is really the book that puts together the crossovers between all the autoimmune style illnesses and tick-borne diseases, how we can see these organisms at play creating chronic inflammation in our bodies, and alongside other factors like mold exposures and heavy metals, why our systems go awry and we can end up with autoimmune style diseases like MS and fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome. So I was busy at work, as I said, feverishly working for over a year. And this book's already trending number one in immunology at Amazon. So I'm really proud of it. I worked really hard. Let's make it a bestseller, everyone. So Autoimmune Illness and Lyme Disease Recovery Guide, Mending Body, Mind, and Spirit. I really give you a lot of recovery tools because, as many of you know, I went from bedridden and wheelchair bound to healthy and well again after being diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and Lyme disease was hidden underneath it all. So if I can heal, so can you. And I give you some great tools and lots of support in this book to mend your life. So that's the happy news that I wanted to share with you. And also I'll be out on tour. I'll be in Block Island September 2nd. Harbor Baptist Church, and then I'll be out in Oregon for a bunch of events, which I'll tell you about next week. That's going to be an exciting time to come visit the Pacific Northwest. So with that, we're going to switch gears, and I'm going to tell you about our great guest, Dan Wolf, who I've known for a couple years now, and I admire greatly for his hard work out in the field, helping all of us who are dealing with ticks and all the organisms they carry, and what destruction they're wreaking in so many lives. And we're going to learn a lot about ticks today from Dan. He's really an expert on it. So let me give you a little bit about his bio, and then we'll get chatting. Okay, so Dan Wolf is the president and founder of Tick Ease, a products manufacturing company whose mission is to provide safe and effective tools for removing and repelling ticks, facilitating tick testing and educating the public for the prevention of tick-borne illnesses like Lyme disease. Dan also founded Massachusetts Deer Service, a suburban deer management program aimed at controlling deer populations. He received his Bachelor's of Science degree in Business Administration from Skidmore College. So, Dan Wolf, welcome to Limelight Radio.
Well, hello, Katina. It is so nice to be here, and I just want to mention something really quick regarding your introduction, and I want to say congratulations on your book. I know how hard you've worked on it. I've been following you, and I also want to let your listeners know that your story is one of inspiration, and I admire you so much for your path and for bringing your journey in front of so many people who may also be suffering and really not know what to do. So hats off to you. Yeah, I know you'll do great with the book. And again, thanks so much for having me here. I can't wait to tell everybody about my experiences with ticks and how I think maybe we can help prevent some suffering.
Definitely. You've got so much information to share. I mean, from the very first time I met you, I mean, we were just gabbing away. There's so much knowledge you have and experience. So thank you for joining us. And I want to also open up the phone lines, listeners. If you have questions for Dan or myself, feel free to dial in to the station. It's 800-930-2819. I'll say it again, 800-930-2819. So Dan, let's get talking because we've got a lot of ground to cover. First of all, I mean, you know, how even really did you get into the whole tick situation? Like, how did you even get involved?
Well, it could have been purely by accident, which a lot of things happen that way. I, as you mentioned from my bio, have been involved for, let's say, about 20 years, maybe a little bit more than 20 years in suburban deer management and studying suburban deer behavior. I live in the Boston area, and we're experiencing a phenomena which is occurring in other metropolitan areas where deer populations are increasing rapidly. And there's a whole host of problems that come with combining the white-tailed deer population with suburban environments. And one of those issues is the increase in ticks, particularly the deer tick, and how that relates to the increase in illnesses that are transmitted by those ticks.
Mm. So that's how you got started, is that you were involved in the whole deer management side of it.
Correct. And what I was doing was I was spending a tremendous amount of time out in the woods where the deer live. And, of course, that's where we're going to see a lot of ticks. Deer are responsible for perpetuating the life cycle of the black-legged or the deer tick, which are the most dangerous types of ticks for us here in the Northeast and in many other areas of the country and the world. So basically what I was doing was I was kind of being a guinea pig, so to speak, for myself and also providing me an opportunity to learn more from experience about how ticks sort of tick,
mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
And I have actually estimated that I've been bitten or have had embedded deer ticks in my body somewhere between about 180 and 200 times.
Oh, my God,
so,
Dan.
I mean, I usually average somewhere between 8 and 10 per year, and I've just simply multiplied that by 20, and you get that large number. Now, for some reason, it may be just dumb luck, or it may be because I'm quite aware of these ticks on my body, I have never had any confirmed case of any tick-borne illness.
Thank God. Thank
yes.
God, thank God, thank God. Oh, my God, you're so... I mean, your genetics probably helped, too, because we've learned a lot about Lyme disease and people's predispositions, but holy cow, that's a huge amount of exposure. Thank God you're safe.
Yes, true, but I also can attribute or may attribute, and the jury is completely out on this, that I was vaccinated when the Limerix vaccine was on the market back in the 90s.
Were
and it
you?
Was on the market for just a short period of time, but I did get the three shots, one a month for 3 months. I experienced some side effects where I felt really lousy each time I took the shot for about 24 hours. But after that, you know, I I didn't notice anything. I don't know if the effects of that vaccine are still in my system or not. I've heard conflicting opinions from researchers and scientists. Some say that it's completely out of my system and that it has no effect or bearing on how my body reacts to these pathogens or the bacteria that causes Lyme. And others say that, well, maybe it's I'm a good example of that the vaccine works. But either way, what I'm discovering is that I do have a hypersensitivity to the tick bite itself, which causes me, and not everybody's like this, but it causes me to get a reaction when the tick first embeds itself in me. And this type of reaction is localized. It's a swelling and a burning and itching sensation. So even when I've had plenty of nymphal stage deer ticks, and for all of you out there that know what a nymphal stage deer tick is, it's very, very small. I've even had larval ticks on me that I've discovered.
Wow.
Which most people don't. The good news about larval ticks is that if, well, larval ticks typically are born from their egg clean with the Borrelia burgdorferi bacteria. There is now something coming, a new strain of Lyme. It's called Borrelia miyamotoi, which scientists are now saying that the mother can transmit this bacteria into the egg, which means larval ticks will have it, which is a big problem because you never know when those little tiny ones are on you.
No, they're so, and they're translucent.
Right, right. Plus, a lot of people don't get that type of reaction. I kind of look at it whereas a very small percentage of the population of people that get exposed to ticks like myself really don't or very rarely get ill or have symptoms of Lyme or other tick-borne illnesses. A general majority of the population can get the infection, get treated, and then respond very well. And then there's a smaller percent on the other side that just, you know, as you know, just the bacteria wreaks havoc on our systems.
I know. There's I think they say, what, about 15% of the people that get exposed have the genetics like I did, right, that we just get totally destroyed, like mitochondria dysfunction, everything goes haywire. Oh, my gosh, Dan. Listen, it's time for our first station break, so stay with me. We're going to come back, and I would love it if you could continue this discussion on ticks as you're just getting into the beginnings here of their breeding cycles and all the kinds of things that we need to be aware of and pay attention to for risk and exposure, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
Awesome. So, audience, stay with us. We're just going to take a quick station break. This is Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
To the hit show Masters Chambers with your trusted friend Connie Fife, Mondays 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will connect you with the best of the best thought leaders from around the globe to share their strategies and best practices. Getting better together. To book Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Clairvoyance, a gift few have.
And even fewer match the powers of one of America's best.
Dr. Linda Salvin. Dr. Linda's uncanny ability drills to the core of your issues to bring you quick and accurate answers and predictions. In more than two decades, Dr. Linda has helped over 75,000 people.
On national radio, by phone, in person.
When you need answers, Dr. Linda makes it clear. Book your time with this legendary seer now. Click on lindasalvin.com
or call 888-509-1077.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Greetings, loved ones. Let's take a journey.
I know a place where the grass is really greener. Warm, wet, and wild. There must be something in the water.
Hi, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and welcome back to Limelight Radio. It is a very interesting topic today with Dan Wolf from Tick Ease, which he's going to tell us more about his company and what he does in a little while. But right now we're in the midst of a discussion for those of you that are joining us about ticks themselves. So Dan, let's pick up where we left off, and you started to educate us a little bit about the nymph ticks and the larva stages. And so let our listeners learn a little bit more about ticks, because I know, you know, if you have dogs or you have, you know, outdoor animals that you're used to removing ticks from their body. Like when I was a kid, you know, we did the old fashioned thing with the match that we blow out, and then and now we know this is all bad. So let us learn about ticks, and then we can learn more about how we prevent and protect ourselves.
Yeah, that's great. And hopefully we'll have some callers to call in and ask some good questions, because there's just a lot to learn. And I think that, the more you learn about ticks and their behavior, the better off you can be to fight them. It's kind of like, you know your enemy. So first off, I'd like to say that I've had an interest in bugs and insects since I was a little kid, which, much to my mother's dismay, was...
Yeah, right.
You know, always bringing these creatures into the house. But so for me to be interested in ticks for, you know, at later in life was not surprising, at least to me and some of the people that know me best. So maybe we can actually involve you in this discussion a little bit, where I can sort of quiz you and see if, you know, what your level of knowledge is about ticks.
Okay.
So the first question I would ask is, do you know how long a tick lives? And by the way, I'm just going to be referring to the deer tick, the black-legged tick, which is by far the most dangerous. It is just a dirty cesspool of parasite and infectious microbes. So, do you know how long a deer tick lives?
Oh my gosh, my guess is like 2 years.
That is correct.
We're going to
quiz you at the end.
Bingo!
I
knew they made it through the winter. That's why I thought, hey, they've got them, if they can make it through the winter, right?
Right. And, you know, people look at bugs and stuff like that, and they go, oh, they, you know, a fly lives like, I don't know, a week or so. But these ticks, they have longevity, and some can live in excess of 2 years. So But they have a very specific life cycle. And the next question I would ask you is, do you know how many times a tick feeds in their lifetime, in the 2 years that they live?
Six.
That is incorrect. You would think that they feed a lot. However, ticks actually feed three times in their life, and it is because when they transition from one stage of their life to another, they do so by having the nutrients of their blood meal. And by the way, ticks are parasites, external parasites, and they feed only on blood. So wherever there's blood, they can feed. And, you know, typically mammals, they can feed on reptiles, snakes, birds, and so forth. So they're not very discriminatory as far as where they get their blood.
I didn't know about reptiles. I didn't know about reptiles. That's interesting.
Yeah, down in some of the other climates where, of course, we don't have a lot of lizards or reptiles up here, but I've seen pictures of ticks, particularly around the eyes of smaller lizards. And that's where they can get on birds as well, and birds are kind of related, believe it or not, to reptiles very closely.
Yeah.
So so the four stages, or there's you know, four events that occur in a tick's life that they need the nutrients from a blood meal, and that is, first of all, they're born from an egg. And here's another question for you. How many eggs do you think an average adult female deer tick can lay?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. Average. Let's take a guess. I'm totally guessing on this one. I'm glad you're training me with this stuff. 1,000?
Close. About twice that. So, you know, an average deer tick can drop about, you know, 1,500 to 2,000 eggs. Given the situation. Now, just to talk about sheer numbers, if you think about it, 90% or more deer ticks feed or have their last meal on a deer. And some statistics that I've looked at will indicate that an adult deer in the fall, when adult deer ticks are most active in our climate, can drop five pregnant female ticks per day. For a period of time until it gets too cold for the ticks to remain active. So, you know, when a deer can be in someone's backyard now, and in a half an hour can be a mile away in someone else's backyard, dropping ticks along the way, you know, that's potentially 10,000 new ticks a day from one deer.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, bam,
and when you have, when you have population densities in our suburban areas that can approach 25 to as much as 30 or 40 deer, you know, you can do the math. It's incredible, and that's why so many people are suffering from illnesses.
So this is making a lot of sense to me, Dan, because I'm thinking about it like, you know, I'm up here in New Hampshire in the wooded areas, and you know, I don't see the deer so much in my yard because we have such dense forest, but I know they're around. But I've visited, let's say, my friend down in Dover, Mass, which is just outside of Boston, down your way.
Right.
And the deer are really, they're in the yard.
Right. And actually, you would think, people think, oh, well, where are the hunters going to go look for deer? Well, they're going to go up into the big woods in the mountains, Maine and New Hampshire. Well, in fact, the deer densities are significantly higher the closer you get to the suburban settings.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, even in the residential neighborhoods.
I've heard, like, down in Princeton, New Jersey, like, they've seen them, like, downtown.
Right, and in areas of New Jersey and even Connecticut up to Rhode Island, we have densities that can approach 100 deer per square mile.
Oh, my God.
And that is significant because you're bringing so many different problems. One, of course, is the amount of ticks. Another one is the destruction of property as far as landscapes go. Another is vehicular collisions. People are hitting deer left and right. Mm. And finally, the ecosystem just can't sustain that type of browsing. So we're losing woodlands, and there's a whole field of research devoted to what's happening to our woodlands in areas where there's significant deer densities. So you know, the two go hand in hand as far as I'm concerned. Now, there may be some people who disagree with that, but my opinion personally is that the deer densities are directly proportional to the amount of ticks in a particular area.
Wow, Jan, that's, you know, that's pretty actually intense when you think about it, that that the suburban areas are more at risk even than the rural areas.
Well, sure. And people are kind of at odds as what to do about this. I mean, you know, I've studied deer behavior in the suburbs, and a lot of people also think that, well, it's our fault because we're squeezing the deer out, we're encroaching on their habitat, while in fact, that's not the case. We actually have created an environment for the deer to thrive, and being such an adaptive species, when you provide deer with year-round sustenance, like our shrubs and landscapes, which are high in calories and high in nutrition, where, you know, Mother Nature out in the woods, typically the food sources end, you know, when it gets cold and snow-covered, a lot of deer, you know, naturally starve to death. But we're taking that component, you know, out of the picture in the suburbs, and that's why the deer are thriving.
Oh, so they like those things like the juniper bushes and the boxwoods and the rhododendrons and the azaleas and things. So
yes. I mean, there's certainly some plants that they have a distaste for, but in the wintertime when they're starving, they're going to eat just about anything. Usually rhododendrons are a favorite food of theirs in the winter only when it's cold and other food sources have kind of dried up.
Wow, it's really interesting. But also, as you said, the figures, when you think about them carrying ticks on board, and then as you autumn, a lot of people don't realize that autumn's actually a very high risk time to become infected by a deer tick or get Lyme disease. Everyone always thinks spring, which is true, but you just pointed out to us what happens then with the cycle and then the pregnant tick falling off.
Right. Well, adult ticks are active in the very end of the summer, and I'm referring to our climate up here in the Northeast. I'm not such an expert on other climates, but in the Northeast, in the fall, we have active adult deer ticks, which are finishing up their lives and male deer ticks typically won't feed that last time. They will actually look to mate with the female who's taking that last blood meal to nourish her eggs. And usually they mate right while the female is feeding. So in the fall, when I've done my research, when I'm looking for ticks, and on the deer, you can actually see the male ticks in the act of mating with the female ticks while the female is eating.
So oh, boy.
It's a bizarre thing to view.
Yeah, right.
Kind of getting a two-for-one. But the males then will drop off and die, and the females will drop off and lay their eggs.
Wow.
I didn't tell you. Okay, so there's an egg stage.
Yeah. I've got to catch you, Dan, in the middle of your thought, because we have to go to station break.
Okay.
So I got to catch you in the middle of your thought. Hold that thought, because then we got to come back and we've got to talk about removal of ticks and ID of ticks and prevention and all this. So audience, stay with us. We're going to be right back. Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information. Are you ready for a radical shift in your way of being? Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Awakened Living Radio is a show dedicated to helping you embrace a life filled with profound peace, connection, and happiness. TJ Woodward is passionate about helping you find your clarity, balance, and purpose. Join co-host TJ Woodward and Dr. Pat Basile on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for Awakened Living Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Into Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
She's faced the hardest times you could imagine.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and thank you to my very special producer, Brian Eugene Sullivan, for helping me with Limelight Radio these past 2 years and for the, your beautiful music you always give
me.
Oh,
thank you. Thanks a bunch.
I love Brian. He's really a gem. And this week and next week are our last two live broadcasts of Limelight Radio, and then we're going into a little hibernation for the autumn while we raise money for sponsorship so we can come live again in January. So if you're interested in helping this wonderful show continue, we need your assistance in sponsorship or any kind of benefits that you want to bring to Limelight Radio. It's been such a fantastic program educating the world about tick-borne diseases. So send me an email at limelightradio@gmail.com so we can bring Limelight Radio live again in January. But we'll be replaying a lot of our archived shows, and you can always go to limelightradio.com, hit the archive link, and listen to any of our podcasts. Fantastic guests I've had, like our terrific Dan Wolf today from Tickies. So Dan, back we go to the ticks. We're learning about their breeding cycle, and let our audience know, you started to tell us about spring and late summer and fall, and you know, what do people need to do for prevention? Let's talk about prevention, and then we'll talk about actually removing and identifying the ticks. But prevention's a big, big question on everyone's mind.
Yes, and prevention is, it covers such a wide range of, you know, areas for ticks. It's incredible, and I know our time is flying by, and I just get, you know, I'm very passionate about, you know, talking about ticks and educating, so I'll try to keep focused, but I kind of go off on some tangents, so bring me back if I do that.
Okay.
The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to interject some quick tips randomly, if that's okay, mm-hmm. and I'll interject some more questions for you regarding ticks themselves. So here's a quick question for you, Katina. Is Lyme disease the only type of illness you can get from a deer tick?
No.
Aha. You are correct. There are a lot of different pathogens that you can get from one bite, in fact. And the deer tick up in our area can actually infect its host with a parasite, a virus, and a bacteria all from the same bite. So we really need to be careful. And there's some information online that we'll describe. I can't get into it now. We just don't have the time. But there's research you can Google and find online that'll describe some of the what we call co-infections that occur with tick-borne disease. Lyme disease is by far the most well-known. However, there's other ones that are kind of their incidences of diseases amongst people are increasing very rapidly. So we need to be concerned about that as well. One of the biggest ones that we're seeing up here now that we worry about is Babesia, which is a parasite similar to malaria that you can get, you know, in addition or separately from Lyme disease.
It's horrible.
Oh, it's terrible. And the problem with Babesia is it is, you know, it has an acute onset of symptoms. And there are high-risk groups, for example, if someone is HIV positive, is undergoing chemotherapy, is elderly, or is in the absence of a spleen, or taking immunosuppressant medications. These are very high-risk groups, and you really need to get treated quickly. The other important thing to note about the co-infections is tick testing, which you mentioned earlier. And my company, TickEase, works very closely with the University of Massachusetts in Amherst and their Laboratory of Medical Zoology to help facilitate tick testing. Now, it is a fee-based service, but it's important that if you do find a tick on your body and you remove it, to save the tick. Now, you can save that tick and send it in for testing. I believe it's somewhere around $50, and now they actually are testing for four different microbes automatically under that fee. They used to only do the Lyme or Borrelia, mm-hmm. Which was something that they require. Now it's Borrelia burgdorferi, which is the bacteria that causes your quote-unquote standard Lyme. Mm-hmm. Then there's a Borrelia miyamotoi, which is another strain of the Lyme or the Borrelia bacteria. It also tests for anaplasmosis, which is another bacteria that can make you sick, and Babesia, which I mentioned, which is the parasite. So why is it important to save the tick? Well, you pull a tick off, put it into a Ziploc baggie, and label it with your name, the date, where you think you got the tick, and if possible, how long you think that tick was in you for. I have these baggies all over my house.
Wow.
They're stuck on the bulletin boards. They're in a file. I save them because then if I begin to exhibit symptoms, if I didn't want to send it in right away, I can refer back to that particular tick, send it in, and then with that information that I get from the Laboratory of Medical Zoology, I can share that with my physician. So, for example, if you get a tick that tests positive for Babesia, but not for Lyme, the physician and yourself can determine what is the best treatment plan for that because Lyme is treated differently than Babesia.
Right.
So it can be very helpful. So back to the stages of ticks' lives. They are born into eggs. They hatch. They become larvae. They need a meal. So they will attach themselves to a small mammal. And what is the most common reservoir host for the Lyme bacteria? Do you know?
Reservoir host? I would think it would be a warm-blooded mammal.
Correct.
Like a mouse or a rodent, right?
By far, in this world of Lyme disease in which we live, white-footed mice are the biggest culprits. And the interesting thing about it is that if a tick bites a mouse that has the Lyme bacteria in it, the tick then becomes infected, and then it retains that bacteria throughout its life. If the mouse is uninfected but the tick is infected, the tick can give the bacteria to the mouse, and then
right.
subsequent ticks that bite that right. mouse will then it's
pick
like
it
biologic.
Up off of the mouse, right?
Yeah, it's like ping pong there.
Right, they go back and forth, and I know because I've visited all over the country, Florida, North Carolina, the Pacific Northwest, California, Minnesota, I mean, you know, the illness is everywhere. The migratory mm-hmm. birds have carried it. As you said, deer can cover hundreds of miles. The ticks are everywhere, and whether rodents are bringing them along, but we're all at high risk.
Correct. And so prevention, as you mentioned earlier, becomes key. And there are a lot of people that can tell you, you know, how to prepare, protect your yard, how to protect your pets. My area of expertise is really on learning about how ticks bite you and proper removal. Because, you know, what I consider people should have a prevention tool chest and should have tools of varying types, you know, whether or not it be treated clothing or skin repellents or prepping their yards. But you should have a prevention tool chest.
I like that idea. You know, I really like that idea, Dan, because you remember this spring when I had like that freak out spell when my dog was bringing like 6 ticks a day in the house?
I do remember.
And I was like calling and texting you like in a panic, like, oh, my God, how do I stop this? I was so flipped out over it. It was a terrible season. But you know what? When you come back, we have to take a station break. When we come back from a station break, let's talk about the prevention toolbox that we all need to have. This is like salient. So then we'll have to put it up in a blog.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Let's do that. All right. So everyone stay tuned. This is Katina Makris. We're visiting with Dan Wolf. We're going to come right back with Limelight Radio.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
The
doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. This inspiring show will help you never feel helpless in life or love ever again. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Time right here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio, everyone. This is Katina Macris. I hope you're enjoying the show today. Dan is a wealth of information. Dan, first of all, let's mention your website right now before we forget.
Okay, it's very easy. www.tickease.com. That's T-I-C-K, like tick, mm-hmm. and the word ease, E-A-S-E, and that's all one word, tickease.
Fabulous. And you've got some great products. I mean, those tweezers that you make are fantastic, but I don't know if I'm jumping ahead of the game here. You were going to tell us about the prevention toolbox everyone should have.
Exactly. And it's very important. You can't just sort of focus on one aspect of prevention because, you know, you can't forget ticks are insidious little parasites. I mean, I pulled back the sheets in my bed and found ticks.
Oh, God.
I find them crawling in my car. You know, they're on the couch. And I've got two dogs here, and I'm a single dad with two boys living at home. And that was kind of the whole impetus for me getting involved in this in the first place, is that I would spend the day out in the woods, come home with attached ticks on me, and then try and figure out how to best remove them. And you mentioned earlier putting a hot match on them. Well, we know now that that's not the right thing to do. What you don't want to do with an attached tick is to squeeze it in the wrong place or cause it to get agitated, because both have effects on the tick that can increase its potential to regurgitate or to inject microbes and saliva back into your system. I know it's kind of gross, but, you know, that's why all the experts say, including myself, to use a fine-tipped or pointy tweezer. You should never twist the tick out. I know there's some products out there that, you know, tell you to twist the tick out, but that's not necessary, and it may actually loosen up those mouth parts on that tick. There's other products that rely on a kind of a scoop-out method. You know, there's a spoon, and it's important to get a durable product. I designed a product that's basically a two-sided stainless steel, fine-tipped, angled tweezer on one side, and a flat slotted scoop method on the back side. So essentially, you're getting the best of both worlds in one, affordable device that really has been tested and really is making some great headway in the markets today. I mean, we're just getting started. The product was patented last year, and that product is it's called Tickies.
Congratulations! It's a great tweezer set. I've used it now several times. You make it very easy and also like not freaky scary to remove the ticks.
Right, and it's also, it's important to be able to not be intimidated by the tick removal process, because it's so important to get that tick out properly and promptly. And you mentioned the tool chest. Prompt and proper removal is one component of your tick prevention regimen. And I am trying to be the biggest advocate for that part of your toolkit. So, you know, other people might have other ideas, which are all great, but my area and my focus right now is that prompt and proper removal. In addition to providing education, in general, like what we're talking about today, to, you know, residents in endemic areas. And my focus moving forward with Tickies is to, you know, support the business enough so that I can educate particularly younger children in the school settings and maybe through the states. But
you've been doing a great job. You're doing a great job, Dan. I really, really, hats off to you, because you've made a really nice product here. And the testing also, as you said, with the accompanying test kit, and then all your education, bringing the information into the schools and the park systems, and you're doing a great job. I'm very, very proud of you.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, honestly, really true. So people with their prevention, they should have your Tickies tools with them. They should also have some kind of repellent, right?
Yeah, repellents are good. You know, it's not going to hurt. Repellents typically don't work as well for ticks as they will other flying insects like mosquitoes and biting flies. And the problem is that ticks are kind of slow moving, just crawling around. They can't land on you and go yuck and then run away. They tend to stay closer to your body and will move up your pants leg and into your, you know, areas that you don't want to talk about, where you're typically not putting repellent on. So they'll kind of just move away from it until they find a nice place to bite. Or you can bring them in, then they get repelled and they fall off on your floor. They're not dead, so they can continue to search you out.
I know. I hate that. I told you that thing. I found it on the wall near my dryer because they're heat-seeking, and they were going towards the dryer. And I thought, oh, my God, that gave me an idea.
Random tip number one, and I know it's the end of the show, but when you are out in an area where there are ticks, before you enter your home or right when you get in your front door, take off all your clothes, throw them in a hot dryer, 15 to 20 minutes. A little longer if it's winter time because your clothes are more insulated.
Yes, I know that one. Put on high heat, right?
Yes, ticks hate dry heat, as I like to say, as much as we hate ticks.
I know. So anyway, we've only got a couple minutes left here, Dan. So what would you like to make sure we don't forget to say?
Well, another motto of mine is don't neglect your crevices. So do tick checks on yourself, your family members, and your pets. Use the dryer tip that I mentioned earlier. Don't forget to save the tick whenever you remove it, and remove it promptly and properly. And Tickies is a great way to do that. You can, of course, go to the website at tickies.com. Also, I have a toll-free number. It's 855-TICK-READY. So if anybody wants to call and chat, if they have any questions, I usually answer that phone all the time.
Oh, that's wonderful, Dan. Thank you so much for being so available to people, for coming on the show today and help educate our listeners about ticks, about the whole life cycle, what we can do for prevention, and then for also designing this terrific product line. I can vouch for it. I've used it, as I said, here with myself and the pets, and you're really doing a remarkable line of work here, because this epidemic is surging, and as you explained to us, the tick population is just exploding, and the mammals are carrying them everywhere. So thank you so much for your hard work, and I really will look forward to having you back on in the future.
Well, I'd love to come back on, and I also appreciate everything that you've been doing in your area as well.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that, Dan. Yeah, it's you and I are right there in the trenches, aren't we, facing this epidemic right on the front line, and it's hard to see the suffering, but on the other hand, I feel like you and I both have this share the same philosophy. You can't stop. Once you get started, you can't stop. We can't let this epidemic progress any farther.
That's true. That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, audience, I hope you enjoyed today's show. We will be back live next week. And this show I'll put up on podcast tomorrow. You'll be able to go to limelightradio.com, hit the archive link, and this interview will be available, and you can share it with your friends. And all our shows are archived there. So thank you all for tuning in. And thank you, Dan Wolf, for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you at another conference together.
Yes, hope to see you soon.
All right. Thank you, everyone. This is Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
I don't know what's up there.
listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Makris.
Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please.